straight to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello, happy Thursday. Welcome along to Word on the Street, where if you're new here, as we say every week, we take a sporting topic, something that's dominating the headlines, and we take it out to the public and we find out what they think. As always, I'm here with Eve, and Rachel's on Zoom this time. How are you, Rachel?
Hey guys, how are you?
God, that was loud. No, I'm kidding. It's great to see you, Eve, on Zoom. And Eve, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
It's been a long, busy week, so it's nice to kind of be back doing what's.
Yes, it is. It has been busy. Rachel, explain to us why you're on Zoom, if you can. I don't know what information you're allowed to release here.
Well, I had the pleasure of giving Susanna a tour around my local village yesterday. I'm surprised she even left. She fell in love with the place.
I did, actually. You brought a tear to my eye describing it.
Yeah, that's all we'll say for the moment. Don't want to give anything away just yet.
Yeah.
And you've had a busy time, Susanna, because you're just back from covering the Rugby World Cup.
Yes, sorry, I forgot. I felt like I was back last week, but then obviously I went back again. Where was I at the weekend? I was in Exeter.
Lovely.
For the quarterfinals. Sadly, not the result we all wanted. And some crazy controversy, which I think has been well covered on the Off the Ball channels, to be honest.
Yeah, and well covered by you, because it's a very, you know, like,
thank you.
It's an intense thing to have happened.
It was.
The bite on poor Aoife Wafer.
Bizarre. Her ban has been reduced from 12 weeks now to 9 weeks. Did you see that, Rachel?
No.
Yeah. I don't know how to feel about it. Obviously, she apologised and she feels bad, and the powers that be have decided that 9 weeks is sufficient, but I don't know how I feel about that.
Is it 9 weeks or 9 matches?
9 matches, sorry. 9 matches. Down from 12.
But it's still, I mean, I remember when Luis Suarez, we were talking about this earlier on, when Luis Suarez bit somebody in the Premier League a few years ago. That was such a huge thing, and he got such a long ban.
Yeah, and I felt like that was just, I remember that at the time, I was like young, and I just thought, that is crazy. Like, that's disgusting. That's like vampire style stuff. Yeah. Like, what is going on? This person doesn't belong in professional sport. And then it happened right in front of me, and I was like, huh?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what to do
especially in a sport like rugby, you know, soccer, you can kind of understand like they can't get that physical, so not that you'd condone
fighting,
taking a chomp out of anyone, but like you've got so many opportunities in rugby to batter the shit out of your opponent. Like,
yeah, why is this what you chose? Yeah. I thought that as well. I was like, if she had punched her, I almost would have felt better.
Oh yeah,
it's like a little bit more of a normal reaction. Biting someone is just weird.
It's very weird. I was glad that I wasn't at that game and that I was instead covering some football this week.
Oh yes, where were you yesterday?
I was home in Athlone Town. They've dropped out of Europe. They lost, it was 6-0 on aggregate, which sounds bad, but like their performance, maybe they should have had a couple goals. It wasn't that bad. But it meant that I got to travel down to Athlone yesterday and have a few hours off before the match, and I got to watch the cricket.
Yes.
Which leads nicely into our topic for this week.
Very smooth of you,
Larry. Thank you. It's the first T20 series between Ireland and England in the cricket, which got us thinking about different versions of sports.
Yeah. So, and our very sad generation. That Rachel, apparently you're not part of, I don't think, but Eve has decided I am a Gen Zer.
I've heard it's 98.
Yeah. I thought it was 2000.
From what I was looking at today, 96, which I still don't fall into, which is kind of sad. But yeah, no, I'm definitely.
We need to start outing your age on this podcast.
Sorry,
yes,
Rachel.
All right, okay. I see how it is. I'll get cranky now. I'm going to come for your entire generation in this entire episode.
To be fair, I'm coming from my own generation because some of the stuff we've researched today is a bit appalling. But let's start. Let's get the point out here. This episode is called Gen Z, Long Story Short. And we're talking about the fact that Gen Z, our attention span has now reduced, apparently, down to 8 seconds.
Which I want to know where the science comes from. That I believe it to a certain extent.
Yeah, so we can't concentrate on any given subject for more than 8 seconds, which brought us to thinking, and there's been a lot of talk in the past couple of years, how on earth are people watching, firstly, 80 or 90 minute rugby and football games, but then even further than that, with you talking about the cricket, 5-day cricket tests.
Because here's the thing about cricket specifically, and I'm outing myself as I'm half English, so I would watch
no
a lot of...
No way.
I know. So I'd watch a lot of cricket. Well, that's a lie. I watch the Ashes whenever it's on, quite religiously. And the Ashes is your typical like test cricket, which is over 5 days. You know, every... It's sort of the traditional form, and yeah, it is incredibly long, which I like. I like the charm of that. I like watching the Ashes, and I, in the office I used to work in, I just have my phone by my computer and I would have it on all day, and you can dip in and out of it, and it's nice. But what's happening now, Ireland are playing England in T20.
Yeah.
And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's 2020, so you have 20 overs.
Yeah. I don't even understand what an over is. I'm not going to lie to you.
An over is six balls.
Okay.
So the team who's bowling, six balls for an out, whatever. I don't feel like you need to understand the minutia of cricket to understand that what's happening in the T20, which was established in 2003, is a shortened and condensed form where you can get through an entire match in one day.
Yeah.
As opposed to five.
And this is the whole point. It's part of this movement with not only Gen Z, but I think people in general, we have so much going on our phones and our screens and all the time that we are no longer able to sit down and pay attention to 5 days of cricket. And they know this, and the numbers are dropping off, and so they're shifting, and we're seeing it across a variety of sports, which we're going to talk about today. We've got the F1, the sprint races, rugby sevens instead of rugby 15s. We've got a whole lot of stuff going on to try and not only bring new people into the sport, but keep people watching because they're no longer watching the full thing. And with, I know you love cricket, but
I like cricket.
Like cricket. But I had to reach out. I have a family full of cricket and I am surrounded by it all the time, which is really bizarre because I cannot watch it.
Really?
I would watch for like 5 minutes and like, well, that was cool. You got a six. But like my attention span is a classic Gen Z-er. I can't watch it for more than like 10 minutes. So I reached out to my good friend Henry. He's from New Zealand, which isn't like a massive hotbed for cricket, but it's a lot bigger than it is here, I would say.
Yeah.
And he was kind of explaining why T20 has come in and how he feels about it.
Traditionalists when it comes to cricket, and actually most people who have sort of been around and watched cricket their whole life, would say that test cricket is real cricket and it's the best kind of cricket. But at the same time, playing any sport for 5 days, especially one that's as slow as test cricket, is never going to be sustainable in a world where there's so many other competing forms of not just sport but entertainment. So T20 cricket it's a good product to bring into the sort of new Gen Z world where everything is fast paced. For most nations outside of Australia, England, India, every test series loses the money. Some of the smaller nations, they get no one in the grounds, no one's watching on TV, there's no money to be made. So it's dying a very slow, well, not even that slow, but a very gradual death. And so, like, on balance, it is good that T20 cricket has come around and it's replacing it. Like, it's keeping cricket alive. Plus, it's also good that you can have these sort of international tournaments that are all over in the space of a month, like you do have for the sort of Rugby World Cup or Football World Cup and stuff like that. Like, cricket's in the Olympics now, you know, which you definitely couldn't have with test cricket.
Did you know that cricket is in the Olympics, or it's coming to LA 2028?
I did not.
I didn't know that either. Rachel, did you know that?
Not until today. Yeah. I learned so much today.
No, stuff, so did I. But so cricket in its T20 form will be in LA 2028, which shows just like the mass popularity of the sport, because they wouldn't be bringing it into the Olympics if it wasn't gaining traction
exactly
quickly.
And I mean, T20's been around now for over 20 years. So I mean, anyone who's kind of watching cricket now, it's been such a fixture of what the sport is kind of turning into. And you still have people like Henry who feel that while it's here and here to stay, it's not like pure cricket. What you have in the recent years, so this is like since 2020, 2021, you have something in England and Wales, a league called the 100.
Oh yeah, so you were telling me about this.
This is like imagine T20 and then cut it in half. Like,
so we're getting even shorter.
We're getting even shorter.
Something I can get on board with.
So the 100 is an 100 ball format. So matches only last around 2.5 hours. It puts it right in with the likes of football or F1 in terms of like how long you watch it. I've spoken to a lot of cricket purists who hate the concept of the 100. It's not the pure form of cricket where it's, you know, the mind games and the drama that can intensify over 5 days is unlike anything you're going to get in an 100 ball format. And I understand where the purists are coming from. And I love watching the Ashes and the 5 day tournaments. But the 100 is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's exhilarating. You will see risks being taken more because, you know, you have to, you know, if you want to beat your man, you only have a very certain amount of time to do it, to beat the other team. It's obviously aimed more towards young people. And you've seen, like, it was free to air on the I want to say the BBC, but it could be Sky, but it was free to air on UK television anyway for the past few years. And it's been hugely popular, you know?
Yeah, well, I thought Henry was really interesting because I thought he was going to come at me and be that purist and tell me why it sucks that T20 is taking over, and because he's a massive lover of cricket, he's watched since he was tiny. But I thought it was very somewhat impressive that he was so realistic of the fact that my sport is dying off, this is replacing it, and it's still cricket, and if it's going to die, at least we have something coming through.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would view it as, oh yay, more cricket.
Yeah. But I suppose you're losing a format of the great. Like, it's as if rugby sevens came through and there was no more 15s.
Or at least far, far less.
Yeah. Which I think that's what's interesting. I understand it in the sense of cricket because people weren't watching the tests.
Yeah.
So they needed something.
Cricket is misunderstood.
Oh. That's a statement.
Like, I'm not a massive cricket fan, but I've never even given it a go. But I'd automatically, because you know it's going to go on for days, you've got like a reflex opinion of I'm not going to enjoy that, that's boring.
Yeah.
Whereas it's kind of just not even that it's shorter, it's nearly probably like a rebrand for cricket to get people into it, and then they're like, I could watch 5 days of this, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and have a roast dinner in the middle of a sports event.
And you get a highlight reel of, as Eve was saying, T20 and 100, it's more exciting, it's more aggressive.
Yeah.
You've got people going for the big shots all the time because they don't have to play the waiting game that you do in the longer tests.
Yeah, exactly.
So someone sees a highlight reel of this on YouTube, as we know, like, I think I wrote somewhere that like 95, or no, that's a complete lie, 93% of Gen Z sports fans consume their sport online through digital content. So we know that that's where they're getting their reels, their TikToks, their YouTube highlights. But then what can drag them in to bring them to a sport? As you said, I don't know. From talking to Henry, he certainly seemed to think that Test cricket wasn't going to make a return, that T20 was going to take over.
I think it has. I think, you know, it's the most predominant form that a lot of countries will play. And I think making a big spectacle of Test cricket when it comes around, something like the Ashes or England played India this summer in a Test series, it makes them more important, maybe.
Mm.
You know, like we talked to, in amongst the various people that we talked to this week, we talked to Simon today, and he was talking kind of like what you were saying about, you know, our attention spans and how that affects the sports that he watches, which would, I think, primarily be rugby.
He was a rugby player.
So I'll play this for you now.
Like, do you think it's an effective way of getting younger people to watch sports?
Yeah, because a lot of people nowadays, they have kind of short attention span, I think, from watching TikTok and stuff even. Sometimes myself, I find I can't watch a 2-minute video. I just find myself scrolling. So I think having like shorter matches get more people to start watching it. And then once they start watching more of it, they'll start watching the longer games and the bigger type of teams and stuff like that.
Okay, so you want to keep like the longer form, say of rugby, for example, you want to keep the 80 minutes, but sevens is a good way to attract people in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So you would still sit through an 80-minute rugby match, no problem?
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I agree with him, but I'm just not sure. I think that works in rugby when the longer format of the game is still the more popular one. And it's still the bigger one. And rugby sevens, if anything, is on the way out rather than on the way up.
That's what surprises me most, because we've seen something like T20 in cricket almost taking over, and yet Rugby Sevens has, I mean, especially in Ireland, the programme for the men is gone.
Yeah. Well, I think Rugby Sevens was more about the fanfare of the event than the rugby itself. I think we had a comment in from someone on WhatsApp that was saying, yeah, for me, it's a massive thing of taking the time to enjoy the sport. Sure, fanfare around Sevens is great, but I like going and watching for the sport itself. As long as the teams are a good standard and the commentary is top-notch, I could sit and watch sport all day long and would prefer it to a 20-minute blast. So,
yeah,
I feel like, I don't know, that's actually a contrast to the argument for T20.
In that, it, you know, if something is done well and it's the longer form, you nearly feel like you earn the big moments, maybe, yeah, something in that way.
Well, that was a conversation we were having as well, which we wanted to get your thoughts on, Rachel, because we know that people have shorter attention spans. It's scientifically proven, and we need things to change in sport in order to keep people's attention. But, for example, the GAA this year, was it this year or last year, they changed the rules to make the game itself more exciting, rather than necessarily shortening it or affecting or impact, like changing the length of the game, they decided to change the rules. And that's another, yeah, avenue that has really worked, hasn't it?
Oh, totally. What's probably a bit different about that, though, is the games used to be really exciting and then they got a bit boring because of blanket defenses. So it's like we knew what we had and we wanted to get back to that, instead of starting off with something that's saying, oh, this isn't working, we need to change it. It's like we've now returned to exciting Gaelic football. Now it's a completely different game, obviously, and I think it's unbelievable, but it's almost a different model, because it's like, you know, when you've tasted something and you know you can achieve it and then it's gone.
But I think that's all people want. Works. Yeah, I don't think us Gen Zers, I'm talking for us as a generation, I don't think we necessarily want shorter games. And from talking to some of the people around town today, they weren't like yearning for, you know, 50 seconds of football instead of three games. I think we just want excitement and we want to be engaged.
When does it stop? Because the one example I was thinking of was the last phase of play in the Ireland-France rugby game at the weekend. Like, that was torturous to watch because we were so close. It was just phase after phase. But if they had scored a try after that, it would have meant so much because it was building up for so long. But if you're almost guaranteed, like in Sevens, end-to-end stuff, scores don't mean as much. I mean, Eve, like, as a football fan, surely you can relate to this more than any other sport. Like, you can sit down for 90 minutes and have a nil-all draw.
Exactly. When it's such a low-scoring game, it's a very different watch to something like, I can never get into watching basketball. I just feel there's too much going on. I think because I've grown up watching football, where it's more, not that there's not tactics in basketball, but it's this kind of end-to-end, I wouldn't necessarily be so enticed by needing constant action and end-to-end action.
Well, that's interesting because, sorry, I completely ran over you there, but when you were talking about a nil-all game in football, it made me think of this whole Kings League that I was telling you about earlier.
Yes. Explain to me, again, briefly what this is.
This is the most bizarre thing, and I've never come across it before today, but apparently it's massive, which blows my mind that as like traditional sports fans, none of us have heard of it. But it was created by Gerard Piqué. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to correct me. I was like, ugh. He was former Spain, Barcelona and Man United. So a massive soccer player. And basically when he retired, he said, I think 90 minutes is too long. And this is why we need to try and reduce our games. It's impossible that you go to a stadium for 90 minutes and the game finishes nil all. Conceptually, you cannot understand that, but it's happening in traditional football. So he was like, nah, boring, and founded this thing called the Kings League, which started in Spain, but has now expanded massively across Latin America, Europe. It just started a league in Italy, Germany. It had its first World Cup this year. And honestly, it's somewhat crazy and ridiculous. It's like if you take the worst Gen Z and give them everything they wanted. It's like a combination of a video game, football, influencers,
Twitch streamers.
And everything in between. So it starts a little bit like dodgeball. I'd encourage everybody to go and look it up right now, because it starts like dodgeball with a goalkeeper and one player on the pitch. And they sprint to the middle and the ball is released from like a giant glass box. And it drops down and it's like something out of a movie or like Endgame or something. And they have to try battle it out with just two players on the pitch. The goalkeeper's coming out. And then after a certain amount of time, they're allowed to bring in another player and another player until I think it's eventually... I think it's 7-on-side.
It's like something you dream up of in like the yard in school. Yeah. That just keeps growing legs and legs and legs.
And they have like,
actually now the chairman can come in and score a penalty.
Yeah, and they have giant dice floating around the place. Like, they're just making it as crazy and interactive as possible. And they've got ex-footballers kind of running the teams. They've got a whole draft system with a virtual economy. They've got influencers in there. They just have created like a 15-year-old TikToker's dream.
It has, because I had not heard of this, and it made me feel very old.
Yeah.
Because I'm 23. I'm not that old. I was looking at some of the videos, and I was looking at some of the background to this, and it's so foreign from my understanding of football and how I engage with football online. But it's huge.
It's gotten massive.
Yeah, like people. Like, I don't have the figures in front of me, but hundreds of thousands of people
millions
are watching it. The hundreds of thousands of people, like, in the highlights of it on YouTube. It's really funny. The first thing when I looked up Kings League was Kings League highlights.
Yeah.
So you're even shortening.
So they can't
down.
Even watch the full thing. They've shortened it and they still can't watch.
No. I don't think I will be tuning in anytime soon, but that's just me.
But their Kings League Spain, I just had a quick look, has like millions of subscribers on YouTube. So
yeah, well, I suppose it's the ways in which you're engaging with watching sport is changing so quickly. We were talking as well about how people are watching football, and this year Mark Goldbridge, he's a Man United YouTuber and streamer, so people will watch him watch Man United games, kind of like a Gogglebox thing. He's gotten the rights to stream Bundesliga matches, so German football. And it's just such a different way of conceptualizing how to watch the game, and how, like, growing up playing and watching football, it's just something that I never would have thought to engage with that way. But obviously it's there for a reason. That's how people are watching.
Yeah, it's
watching
kind
it.
Of frightening. And those people who, like you were talking about, who stream and they react and people watch them react, they're the ones doing the commentary of this Kings League.
Yeah.
And it's working because people already know them from the online sphere and they're following them to this new sport.
But I do worry in situations like this where, you know, it doesn't have to be that specific streamer that I mentioned, but anyone who's making this type of content, it's all gearing around, that's how they make money, that's their job, it's not like they're paid a wage or anything. So the desire to be sensationalist, the desire to be clickbaity and to maybe... It's a whole different way of engaging with football, and I'm not sure that I like it, but then again, I could be currently the oldest 23-year-old on the planet. So
no, I find this really interesting, because I think, well, Rachel, we haven't had the chance to talk to you all day, but I don't think either of us are advocates of this whole sensationalist shorter version of sports. We still like our traditional sports.
If someone said gun to your head, test cricket or the 100, I would choose test cricket all the time.
But Rachel, how do you feel about the likes of the Kings League and all these things popping up? Are you engaged by them? Not so much.
No, scared. It was a bit dystopian looking at the Kings League. Even the website, I also felt like old Eve. I didn't even know how to like navigate the website to get myself to watch a video straight away. It took me a while to figure out if it was a game or actual physical players playing it for a while when I was looking it up.
I know, it looks like a video game, doesn't it?
It looks like a video game. And you can understand how, if you're growing up watching that, how 90 minutes of football would then seem like the most boring game in the world. But a lot of the people that you seem to talk to on the street today always came around saying, oh no, but I'd still prefer to watch the full version. But if this is what you're getting fed onto your phone, like, you know, we're all as guilty as each other, you're going to watch the shorter snippets. But I'm still there for the long haul.
Yeah,
I can't like the misery, you know?
Exactly. I wanted to ask, because this is something that I've heard a lot of people kind of our age say, like, I don't own a television.
Oh, yeah.
That if I was to watch sports, I'd like have it on my laptop and I'd watch it kind of through whatever, the Sky Go app or something like that, or I'd be watching highlights on my phone or something like that, because young people don't own televisions anymore. Like, how are you most engaging with watching sports, even if you are sitting down like Rachel to watch a full camogie match? Would it be streaming? Or would it be on like...
It'd be streaming. So the only place I'd watch a full-blown match is like my parents' house at home, because they have a TV. But in my house here where I live, we don't have a TV. So anything is like in a Gaelic clubber, it's watching the highlights. The Camogie and the Ladies Football stream a lot of their matches on YouTube, on their YouTube channels. So it's just like casting that to maybe the empty TV that doesn't have any channels. That's how I'm watching everything. And so is everybody I know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've been reading a lot of articles today about how, you know, Gen Z aren't watching TV anymore and we're not watching full matches and we're just getting snippets online. But at the end of the day, are they counting all the ways in which we are illegally streaming sports and the ways in which we are watching on YouTube? And
I think you mean allegedly, but of course, continue.
I didn't mean we as in me personally. I meant we as in a generation.
The royal we.
The royal we. But yeah, I don't think those are counted in the TV viewerships. So they're taking this figure that's obviously going down because, as you said, we don't have TVs and we don't tend to pay for TV subscriptions. Mm. We're finding other ways of watching. I don't think that necessarily means we're not watching the 80 minutes anymore.
This leads me on very nicely to something that came out in the past kind of week in the world of Formula One, where the F1 CEO, Stefano Domenicali, he basically said that F1 needs to prepare itself for the future of how young people are engaging with the sport. And the example he used was that young people are watching more YouTube highlights than they are watching full races. Now, an F1 race is around 90 minutes. And I found that interesting because, yes, it's true. When you look on F1's YouTube, the highlights that they get are viewed tens of millions of times. But it's because it's free, surely. Mm. Like, if you want to watch F1 in this country, you need a Sky Sports subscription if you want to watch it, like, live. I would tend to watch F1, me and my friends watch it in a pub every week, and it's like a community thing. It's very nice. I think it's a bit of a naive way of claiming on how young people are watching the sport, but that's not stopped F1 from what they plan to do, which is try and make the sport as engaging as possible, how they think young people want to engage with it.
Mm.
So what they've introduced, if it's been in place for maybe 3 or 4 years now, is sprint races at around 6 Grand Prix a season, which means that instead of having what typically happens at an F1 weekend, which is 3 practice sessions, a qualifying, and then your big long race, they will have 1 practice session, a qualifying for the sprint race, a sprint race, which is half an hour long, and then a normal qualifying session, and then the actual race on the Sunday.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's supposed to be, you know, encouraging people to watch this shorter format. It's quicker, it's snappier for the young people, for the youth.
Clearly you're not including yourself in the youth there.
I find it all
the
a
way
bit
you
looked tacky.
At me.
I was like, I find it all a bit tacky. But we got a voice note in from Rachel who explained a perspective on sprint races that I actually hadn't really thought of before.
I can't say I'm a fan of sprint races. I think it's enough of a time commitment to watch a normal race weekend without the addition of a sprint race and qualifying for that sprint race. Generally, I don't watch sprint races. I suppose you could say like they're intended to showcase more dynamic and exciting racing, but with the points that are on offer, the risk taking just isn't incentivized. And it puts unnecessary strain on the drivers and mechanics and even the team's budget. I would be of the opinion that it detracts from the main event on Sunday. And personally, I enjoy seeing how various strategies play out, and this sprint race is completely devoid of that. It doesn't really seem like a natural extension or progression of the sport, but just a weird spin-off that was kind of cooked up in a boardroom.
A weird spin-off that was set up in a boardroom is probably my favourite way of describing the kind of current state of F1. If anyone out there remembers, and I know don't mention the war, but Abu Dhabi 2021, which you don't have, I don't know if you have any context
for. Is that
for.
The one where Verstappen and
Hamilton
got in a big fight?
Basically, they kind of let all...
I remember that.
It was huge, and they kind of let all the cars relap themselves between Hamilton and Verstappen, set up this like one-lap showdown. And it's this kind of incentivizing viewership and drama over the actual quality of the racing that annoys me. And it's true, like what Rachel said, there's actually so much more F1 to watch at the weekends. It's exhausting keeping up with it. I'm exhausted. But in terms of stuff like that, the sprint racing, it's all to try and get more of these like highlights. It's what we were talking about with the Kings League. Like you look up, it's already a shorter format and then it's shorter again. So to quickly, because it's only a short clip, but to move on to what Simon was saying, kind of about how he watches highlights as well.
Are there any sports that you find boring because they're too long?
Oh, that's good. That's a good question. I think Formula 1 can be a bit long sometimes. I don't think I can just watch lads, because I like watching the racing, but I feel like, you know, 60 laps or something, I feel like just start falling asleep at the end of it.
And would you be more likely to watch like highlights of that on YouTube than sit through a full race?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I personally feel like the F1 is cars going around in a circle.
Careful.
If they do it in a sprint, is it not just still cars going around in a circle?
In a strange way, it's actually more boring because you only get awarded 8 points for winning. So there's no incentive to like make a dramatic overtake or a risky overtake, because if you ruin your car on the sprint race on the Saturday,
you're screwed,
and it's screwed for the Sunday.
Rachel, do you want to weigh in? We all know you had a viral clip about how much you love F1.
Never. I'm not allowed to talk about F1 anymore. Under legal obligation.
Anyway, I do feel we need to wrap it up quick soon, but I do feel that sports that need a revamp, that don't have a following or are dying out, like, for example, Test cricket, there I understand when you bring in a shorter version or a T20 or whatever it is, 100, that engages new people and is still exciting for the traditional fan to watch. I feel like when you've got a package that is already working and people already watch it and there's no complaints, why do you need, are we really that worrying? Is our generation really causing that much concern that they're already looking ahead to the future and thinking this is going to die out anyway, we need to bring in something else?
I don't think in that way. I mean, I think it's more they want new fans because they want more money.
Oh.
But I'm very cynical. Rachel, are you less cynical than me?
No, even PK's comments about, 90 minutes is too long. I was like, that was so convenient for you to say when you just finished your entire footballing career and you know that this would make a lot of money. So I would question his thinking behind that, his loyalties. But even Match of the Day, Eve, this is something, it's a highlights reel. It's been popular for as long as I can remember football being on. And people have watched that. They wanted highlight reels. They want to see all the games, but it wasn't that worrying. Is that just because it was broadcast to television and not directly into people's phones? There's no uproar over Match of the Day.
Exactly. I think there's a bit of scaremongering going around or exaggeration because people like to give out to Gen Z, which makes sense. There's a lot of things to give out about. But when you think of the ways in which people engage with, for example, football, people will watch matches. They will watch, you know, there's so much football on nowadays, like all the Champions League games. They'll maybe watch multiple matches in one day. Then they'll go listen to a podcast about the most recent football matches. And then they'll listen to a podcast previewing the next football matches. In a way, people are watching and engaging with sports more than ever before. So I think it's all a bit more complicated than we're giving it its credit for.
Yeah, I would agree. I also think the fact that we use YouTube and TikTok as our main kind of highlight of the day, and then maybe still go back and watch the sports that we love in full, or go back and watch a sport back. Like, I might be drawn in from an incredible try that I saw on TikTok and I'll be like, cool. Or I listened to a podcast. That actually happened to me in the car the other day. I listened to a podcast about the New Zealand-South Africa game where South Africa beat New Zealand by like 30 points or something like that. And I was like, God, I haven't watched that, but now I really want to.
Yeah.
And I don't think being able to multitask and being on our phones a little bit too much doesn't stop us from still enjoying the sport as a whole.
I think the shorter versions of sports are really great for getting new fans in and are really great for making sports more dynamic. I think I'd hate to see original formats die.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of overly commercialized versions of sports.
But like I'll, the Kings League.
Like the Kings League. But I'll take my 100 and I'll take my T20 cricket. I might leave the new US Open mixed doubles because they prioritise single players over mixed doubles players. And that's a whole other podcast.
I know, we haven't touched on half the sports we wanted to, but I quite liked the US doubles. I just really like Alcaraz and I really like Raducanu.
That's fair. That's, so getting you're to the exact them. Target audience.
I am the target audience. But that didn't take away, well, in some ways it did because it took away from their practice, but it didn't take away from the main event. And that's my whole point. And yeah. Rachel, we'll get your word in the studio now in a second. But my whole point is that I'm all for these new formats as long as they don't take away from the original game.
Nicely said.
Rachel?
I'd agree. Yeah. Give me more sport. There's no such thing as bad sport that's more, but don't touch the originals.
What would you do if they came out with a new version of football or hurling that was like 20 minutes long and all the best bits?
No. I don't want it.
See, there you're contradicting yourself now. Okay, we do have to finish up because we've gone way over time. But
yeah, sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry about that. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll be back with more Word on the Street next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No! Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.